Hello, everybody. Welcome back to My Animated Life. I am Declan Mangan. I am a sophomore learning about filmmaking. If you're new here, this is a show where I review slash discuss certain animated media that is kind of important to the statement of animation as cinema. And today, instead of talking about something well-known, we're going to talk about something a little, well, it has a fan base, but you have to look far and few between for the fans, and that show is Final Space. Final Space started out as a creation by Olin Rogers, so for some of you who may not know of him, he's a YouTuber who, we'll get into it later, but, as always, we're going to start off with a little history of, first we're going to start with a little history on who the creator is, his, how he started off being a YouTuber, and then we'll talk about the main subject of the show. So, Olin Rogers, or as he likes to be nicknamed on YouTube, Little Big O, or the Tennessee Wonder Child, he was born and grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, as that nickname says, the Tennessee Wonder Child. Throughout his childhood years, he was fond of art classes and video making. His teachers heavily recognized that, and I think they saw it, some spark in him. Eventually, after graduating high school, he would work toward a degree in communications in the University of Memphis, Tennessee, the home of Elvis. He found a job at an airplane repair shop, which I actually didn't know existed. I did not know airplane repair shops happened to be a thing. But besides the point, he eventually got laid off. I looked everywhere. I don't know why he got laid off of that airplane repair shop, but needing a new job and a new source of income, he eventually found his passion again for video making. And during YouTube's great transcendence from 2010 through like 2012, a bunch of YouTuber people like Jax Films, PewDiePie, Jacksepticeye, Markiplier, so on and so forth. Olin Rogers was one of those guys, and he started his YouTube channel in 2010, which was a perfect starting point for his need for creation. Throughout those years, he would make a variety of content. It could be live action skits with his friends, including one of his best friends named Cody Galloway, who would eventually get a role in the show of discussion. Some of his skits would include Star Wars parodies, Lord of the Rings parodies, or sometimes even originals. Like, I remember one profile picture of showing his cat holding a chainsaw or something like that. But basically, he also used his late cat, who he recently told his fans that his cat died of a coyote attack in California, which is very unfortunate. I love cats, so it's hard to see a cat go through a coyote attack. Anyway, these skits would take off relatively, but not as much as his bread and butter. Before animation storytime YouTubers, this guy was a trendsetter. He would sit in a chair, monologue about life, and talk about how weird his life was. So a few examples I brought up in my own notes here. He would include episodes where he would talk about him being in kindergarten and a kid named Scotty would take his entire lunch and eat and ruin his entire lunch during the break, which included him eating his own Nutty Buddy, which Olin was very fond of. Or another example would be a story where he was known as the Popcorn King in his local movie theater. Basically, he worked a job as a concessionist at the local movie theater, and he would be crowned. He would know how to layer popcorns and how to do butter and everything. But the bulk of that story would be him working side concessions, which would reveal to his bosses that he has a certain dance interest in the Kenny Loggins song Footloose. And that eventually gave him a raise. Another example would be time for the next page. Sorry, everybody. He would talk about during college, he would have to make some date food for his eventual wife. And his brother basically had the best recipe for lasagna made by his mother. But his brother was like, nope, you're not getting it. Good luck. So his mom was like, well, shit. The other good thing I have is spring rolls. So Olin took that and he's like, okay, I'm just going to make a ton of spring rolls for my date, which actually went well. As I said, she would become his wife. Another good one was where he would try to dissect his grandpa's very inexplicably spicy peppers. And to quote him, he said as a child, he ate the droppings of Baby Bowser. I would describe these stories being explained with Jack Black levels of acting and comedy. I kind of considered him the diet Jack Black in some cases. Very loud, very expressive, very emotive. And the stories he told were very weird and sometimes questionable as to how it happened. But you don't question it because, well, Olin's just a weird guy. He's been through hell and back. And a few of those his creations would lead him to an upgraded position as a creative, as a creator and writer for Hollywood. Some additional work he's worked on. These are all stuff that he made before or after Final Space aired. He is currently working on an animated short film on YouTube called Godspeed, which was a animated short that was able to raise $300,000 or more dollars from Kickstarter. He should be posting a trailer sometime this week or next week, and the short would be following eventually. He is also making another show, which he revealed he finally got the rights back and he's got it to a new service. Based on his other, one of his other most famous sketches, which is called The Lion's Blaze, which the show, his idea focuses on a group of intrepid gamers getting stuck in a fantasy arcade game. Think Lord of the Rings mixed with Tron, where you die in the game, you die in real life, and it's very fantasy-like, very Hobbit, Lord of the Rings. That pilot is on YouTube if you want to look at that, both the live-action sketches and the eventual pilot. He is also not only a creative, but a businessman. He has his own merchandise line, which goes under Star Cadet. The star is capitalized as well as cadet, which is ran by Rogers and his wife. And it was something he made back in 2010. And he also reopened and saved a local soda parlor / arcade in Tennessee, and he made it his own. I don't remember what it's called. I think it was something like the Soda Popper or something. It's all over his YouTube. You can look it up. Anyway, time for the topic. Olin Rogers' claim to fame in Hollywood would be Final Space. The years on air would be through 2018, or actually, no, I was right. 2017, wait, no, I was right. 2018 through 2021, I am sorry. With it had three seasons. One would air on TBS. The other two would be on Adult Swim. Olin Rogers came up with Final Space initially as an internet-based show called Gary Space. It was a very, very early, very early adaptation of Final Space. He had a 10-episode plan that would air through Rogers' own private Facebook page. It only went for three episodes, however, before going into cryo sleep, which in 2013, he revealed that Gary Space would be rebooted and retooled for Cartoon Network, which kind of went nowhere. I looked it up. It just seemed like it was a passing moment. It's like, oh, yeah, he was trying to make it for Cartoon Network and retool it. Anyway, 3 years later, in 2016, Rogers renamed the show Gary Space to Final Space, mainly to avoid competition from a similarly named show. I think you may have all heard of this one, called Steven Universe. We will cover that sometime soon. We will see. The pilot aired on Rogers' own YouTube channel and got 3 million views. This would eventually become Olin Rogers' best videos viewership-wise. One of those viewers was a very well-known writer, comedian, host, and I consider him a man with fantastic ginger hair, Conan O'Brien. He eventually contacted Olin and offered him to pitch his show to TBS. Conan joined as a producer with his own production company, Conoco, which I think is still up. I'm not sure. Since Olin was kind of new to the Hollywood system, Conan hired David Sachs, who was a writer on Third Rock Under the Sun. He would eventually help him run a lot of Final Space, the show, the writing, so on and so forth. Apparently, the pitch was very beloved, and everybody who saw the pilot thought it was a big hit, and it eventually became a bidding war for who would own it, which the main six would be TBS, YouTube, Comedy Central, Fox, FX, and Full Screen. The winner, as I previously mentioned, TBS, which was a previously owned Warner Brothers. Well, it's still owned by Warner Brothers, but it was a Warner Brothers subsidiary who was trying to branch out and make their own animated content, too, until that fell to the wayside. Some prominent names in that animation domination thing would be not only American Dad, Seth MacFarlane, but they were making a show called The Cops with Louis C.K., which obviously went nowhere because Louis C.K. is a dummy. Tarantula, which that was also a pilot, I believe, on TBS, and that only got like one season. It didn't really do too well. And then the other one, I think, I know, would be J.G. Quintel's next show, which would be the show that was created by the regular show guy, which was called Close Enough. We will discuss that one later, too. The show got a huge push by TBS before it aired in February of 2018. It got a big, big presence at the Comic-Con in 2017, where they announced the cast, they showed storyboards, they featured it everywhere, and it was a prominent name at Comic-Con. When it aired throughout the early 2018, TBS thought it did well enough to get a second season, but with a slight channel change. TBS would still own the show, but they wanted to air the show on another Warner Brothers animated place called Adult Swim, which some of you may have heard. The guys who made Aqua Teen Hunger Force, Squidbillies, Rick and Morty, Smiling Friends, so on and so forth. Which season two would be boosted because of that. It boosted the show's audience by, I assume, double, which led to a season three, which aired on Adult Swim as well. While it did well, it wasn't good enough to get a fourth season order. It was eventually canceled in early 2022 due to the upcoming Warner Brothers Discovery merger. While Final Space was able to survive the first merger, which would be between Time Warner and AT&T, it would not be able to survive this one with Warner Bros. And Discovery. Rogers would later reveal that Warner Brothers wrote the entirety of the show as a tax write-off, which means they removed Final Space from all streaming services, removed any mention of it on their sites, and just pretended they never even picked up the show in the first place. The good news about this was that Rogers wouldn't back down into the corner. He fought to have Final Space conclude and be remembered in some way, either as a minor season four, a movie, or a one release graphic novel. Even if Warner laid off the executives who fought for the show, Warner Brothers eventually caved and allowed Rogers to complete the entire story as a graphic novel with restrictions. The graphic novel is due for release in 2024, and you can pre-order the final chapter online through finalspaceends.com. Now getting into the main bulk of the show, the cast. Season one. This includes Olin Rogers, who plays the main character, Gary Goodspeed, as well as a few other characters, Triborg and Biscuit from season three. As I mentioned, Cody Galloway would be the only sort of YouTuber slash Rogers friends that would make the cast list. He reprised his role as a humanoid cat bounty hunter named Avocado. Tika Sumpter, I don't know much about her, but I know she was in the Sonic movies as a... Shoot, what was James Marsden's character's wife? She played Quinn, Gary's love interest, who's a badass a galaxy defending commander. Stephen Young, you guys may know him as Invincible in Invincible. He played Avocado's little son named Little Cotto, who's basically just a teenage version of Avocado. Tom Kenny, voice acting legend. You know him as Ice King in Adventure Time, SpongeBob, Spyro, so on and so forth. Played the ship's AI, a ship AI named Hugh. He also voiced many other characters like robots, additional character, background characters, so on and so forth. David Tennant, probably the best Doctor Who. He played the villain, the Lord Commander, who basically is the main villain throughout the show, who basically wants to open up Final Space. We'll talk about that. Fred Armisen plays KVN, or Kevin, who basically is like a robot assistant in which is Gary's biggest rival just because of his cheery, chipper, and annoying attitude. Another voice acting legend, John DiMaggio, Bender, Jake, Flip from Loud House. He played a few ancillary characters, like mainly additional voices. Legendary Guillermo del Toro actor Ron Perlman, who you may know as Hellboy, the Lich, the Gestapo from the Del Toro Pinocchio, and many, many other Del Toro creations. He played Gary's dad, who basically is just Gary's dad. I don't want to reveal too much about it. Keith David plays probably a very important character. I won't reveal much about him. But if you know Keith David, I mentioned him in the last episode, BoJack Horseman. But he also played Dr. Facilier in Princess and the Frog, and also the Newt King in Amphibia. Of course, as previously mentioned, Conan O'Brien had a major voice. He played a shady shopkeeper named Clarence, who had become a main character, well, a side character in season two, which is a perfect segue into season two. Ashley Burch and Ron Fuchs. Ashley Burch, you guys may know as Tiny Tina or Enid from OKKO. She plays Ash, a psychic teen with like purple powers who basically was raised in a cult. Ron Fuchs plays this alien named Fox, who basically has a machine gun on his hand. They explain that later in season three in the most heartbreaking backstory ever. Alan Tudyk was also cast as a character. People may know him as Disney's Lucky Charm, as he voiced Duke Weaselton, Duke Wesselton. Let me think. He's playing the goat in the new Wish movie, and he also played Clayface in the Harley Quinn show. Jane Lynch, people know her from Glee and Wreck-It Ralph and Wander Over Yonder. She played another ship AI. Vanessa Marshall also played a villain. I won't say much about that. And Claudia Black played Gary's mother. That will be talked about later, too. Season 3 only had one addition, and it was a pretty small addition. Oscar Montoya played a joke character for Triborg. I won't mention how much of a joke he is, but he's pretty badass. Anyway, not a lot of guest stars, but there are more that I could name, but due to time constraints, I'm going to keep going. So story stuff. This is the stuff that is just the main easy stuff. A ragtag group of misfits must join to save the galaxy from ruin. Now, that isn't really specific because, well, that could be any space opera. That could be Star Wars or Spaceballs or whatever. Anyway, here's the basic rundown of each season. Season one is about an isolated prisoner, a shape AI warden, an annoying therapy robot, two humanoid cat creatures, a badass female commander, an alien assistant, and an unknown alien with a planet-destroying beam that becomes friends with the prisoner, have to protect the universe from a tyrannical commander from opening up a hidden prison that contains giants that could destroy the entire galaxy that are locked away in this place called Final Space. That's basically all I can give. It's 10 episodes, each 22 minutes. It's pretty cool. Season 2 follows up the events of Season 1. How? Well, I can't really say, because this is a show about recommending animation, and you go watch it for yourself. So, but the overall gist is that the Team Squad, which is what they're named in the show, the Team Squad, is out for dimensional keys to unlock a Titan in prison that will lead them into Final Space to save an essential Team Squad member. Along the way, they meet new characters who pose questions about people's past, and mainly questions in the show who can be trusted throughout. Season 3, they get into the desired location. I'm not going to say how. I'm not telling. You go watch the show, please. But going into the location has major consequences, from a terrifying sickness to giants out to kill them all, to an actually hidden manipulator of darkness who may have a bigger part to play. The question is if the squad will be able to get out alive or dead. Knowing the consequences of these actions could change the world forever. Anyway, why do I like this show so much? I think this is my number two favorite animated show in general. So why do I like it so much? The show balances tragic character drama with a high-octane, hair-raising space adventure, having characters go through tons of trauma. This includes seeing your family die, neglect, abuse, murder, being made into a war machine even if you don't want it, grief, loss, vengeance, and redemption. And that's just the wide variety. There's a lot more topics that they discuss in this show. The show has jaw-droppingly great animation with unique backdrops that have very beautiful star galaxy backdrops. It's very, very stunning and wonderful. That pair very well with great music from the composer and also with additional songs that are made by other YouTubers. Those being Shelby Mary for seasons 1 and 2, and you may know this name, Dodie Clark from season 3. Expect amazing visuals with a sad yet beautiful orchestral music. Voice acting really elevates these great characters I've mentioned. So let me go into some of those examples here. Cody, who plays Avocado, who's a Olin's friend in real life and was a part of the pilot as one of the characters initially. He was able to keep the role even if TBS insisted they get a celebrity for him, but Rogers fought to have him. And I will say he blew it out of the water for his first role. I thought he brought nuance and drama and sadness and anger, but also a sense of comedic edge. Some other great highlights include Stephen Young, who obviously has great voice acting experience. He played Steve and Trollhunters in the Arcadia series, and of course, Invincible and Invincible. He always does a great job being so emotive and so depressing and sad and everything. And of course, David Tennant, we love him as the Doctor, but you may love him as a villain here, who's able to bring out some amazing villain work here. I also thought Ashley Birch was able to bring her years of talent as a voice actress and sort of writer on her own YouTube series with her writer brother, too, who'd eventually break into the industry, too. She was able to bring her character, bring her years of talent to bring a character both tragic and menacing. And her sibling, Ron, who's played by Ron Funchess, was able to bring a very funny character in the first the second season, but also be able to have one of the most tragic stories to be ever told. Well, not ever told, because there's a lot more tragic out there, but I kind of cried when watching it. Yes, I know. Big whoop for me. And I just think so much of the acting was stunning. Final Space is a living example of the message. You can do anything you want to, just as long as you put in the same amount of effort. And Olin came from a small but relatively well-known YouTube channel to be able to show his creations at Comic-Con. Besides the message, the show is equally comedic, tragic, epic, spanning, and probably one of the most tear-jerking shows I've ever experienced in my lifetime. I believe it is truly a once-in-a-lifetime experience that didn't have a chance to finish its story in the TV system. Olin has proved time and time again that he loves everything he creates, and that is no different with Final Space. If I want to go into animation, which I do, I want to be as creative and as aspiring as Olin, who fought so hard to get a chance to tell his complete story. As I mentioned, the show is written off as a tax cut, so you can't find it on HBO Max or Adult Swim or Amazon or whatnot. It did air on the UK and Netflix, but that eventually didn't get the chance. But really, the only way you can watch these stuff now is there are tax write-offs. You have to pirate it. I am not a pirater, but Warner Brothers leaves me no choice. So You can look for Final Space on Kim Cartoon or Kiss Anime. And again, I do not condone piracy, but Warner Brothers really kind of gave people no choice if they liked the show. And, of course, be on the lookout for the final chapter graphic novel made by Rogers and a talented drawing team, which will be out in early 2024. He said that people should pre-order as soon as possible because he needs to figure out what exactly and how many books he needs to prepare to sell out for people who want the show. It's a lot of money, though. It's like $100. I personally pre-ordered it because I like the show, so I want to see how it ended. So basically, pre-order if you want to get a copy, because these are probably going to be very limited stock. And he will, if you do get a pre-order, he recently revealed that he may be able to do a live reading with the original cast from the show. So we don't know the amount of restrictions, NDAs, and bullshit like that. So if you want to sneak peek at some of the graphic novel stuff, you can keep up to date with what Olin's been up to on Axe, Instagram, YouTube, on any of his socials on Fridays. And that's my animated life. Next week, I haven't fully figured it out yet, but I think I know what I want to do next. It is going to be one robotic, murdering, interesting tale on YouTube. Thank you. I've been Declan Mangan, and you've got a look at my animated life.